Radio Prague News.
Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil of the Civic Democratic Party has been sacked. Coalition and opposition parties have reacted with surprise to the sudden dismissal. And Top 09 is calling on the Prime Minister to appoint Lenka Bradáčová to lead the Prague State Prosecutor's Office. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil of the Civic Democratic Party has been sacked. Prime Minister Petr Nečas told a press conference on Wednesday that the unexpected decision was the result of his having lost confidence in Pospíšil's ability to manage the ministry and its finances. The Prime Minister harshly criticized the Justice Minister for having requested a budget increase of 1 billion crowns, which he said had a demoralizing effect on the other cabinet members at a time when every ministry had to suffer cuts. Pospíšil has on numerous occasions warned that without a budget increase, the prison system would not be able to properly care for prisoners. Mr. Pospíšil himself said he respected the decision but was surprised by it, having only learned of his dismissal an hour before it was publicly announced. Coalition and opposition parties reacted with surprise to the sudden dismissal of Justice Minister Pospíšil, who is often rated one of the most popular politicians in the country. Leading members of the coalition Top 09 party said they had been taken aback by the decision, with some praising his successful work in the justice ministry, but concurring that the dismissal of a minister is wholly the decision of the prime minister. The opposition Social Democrats demanded to know the real reasons for the minister's dismissal, with some speculating that it was based on Mr. Pospíšil's own sacking of the Prague State Prosecutor and the present need to fill that position. Top 09 leader Karel Schwarzenberg called the sacking unjust and said that Pospíšil had apparently been eliminated because he was a danger to someone. The heads of the coalition Top 09 party will call on Prime Minister Nečas and the next Justice Minister to appoint Lenka Bradáčová to lead the Prague State Prosecutor's Office, according to Deputy Chairman Miroslav Kalousek. A great deal of speculation on Wednesday focused on Bradáčová, a respected prosecutor, as the real reason behind the sacking of Justice Minister Pospíšil. Pospíšil intended to appoint her to the key position to replace Vlastimil Rampula, who many have accused of political bias. Kalousek said Wednesday that the prime minister should appoint Bradáčová if indeed she was not the reason for his dismissal. Protests are already being planned in support of Mr. Pospíšil. Students of the Law College of Charles University are organizing a demonstration on Wednesday evening at Prague's Palácké náměstí to express support for Mr. Pospíšil and thank him for his work. Green Party chairman Ondřej Liška, meanwhile, is calling for a demonstration on Wenceslas Square at 7 p.m. on Thursday. A number of Facebook pages have also been opened in defense of Mr. Pospíšil. Most complaints about the dismissal include disbelief of the prime minister's rationale for it. For example, 94% of 1,100 people in one online poll said the reason for his sacking was his unwillingness to sweep sensitive cases under the rug. Prime Minister Nečas on Wednesday afternoon denied accusations that the dismissal had anything to do with the appointment of a state prosecutor in Prague, which he said he knew nothing about. Now turning briefly to the weather, conditions should be mostly sunny with highs of 23 to 25 degrees Celsius. My name's Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Coming up in today's program, the Prime Minister unexpectedly fires the country's popular Justice Minister, Jiří Pospíšil. We'll have the details. And we look at a Prague tortoise who was once thought to be of the same subbreed as the late Lonesome George. Then later in the program, we'll be talking to Roberto Brazale, the owner of the world's largest hard cheese factory located in the Moravian town of Litovel. President Václav Klaus dismissed Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil on Wednesday following a surprisingly rapid recommendation by the country's Prime Minister Petr Nečas. The sacking of one of the more consistently popular Czech politicians came a day after the government discussed budget plans for next year, including tough austerity measures. Mr. Nečas said that the minister had been sacked for failing to meet austerity targets. Critics, though, charge there is another reason the politician was shown the door. Christian Falvey has the story.
At a press conference following the developments on Wednesday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas minced no words, making clear the Justice Minister had failed and failed utterly to do what was necessary, i.e. reel in his budget. According to Mr. Nečas, Pospíšil, who also served as Justice Minister under the previous government, had done just the opposite, and he tipped the scales by asking for a budget boost of 1 billion crowns. On Wednesday, the Prime Minister said this.
I opted for his dismissal because of his failure as a manager in the area of the budget. I cannot allow a situation, on the one hand, where the entire government is being forced to make cuts, and on the other, a ministry puts forward a request for an additional billion crowns.
Mr. Nečas stressed that the request had had a demoralizing effect on the government and added he had had to raise his voice against a number of ministers a day earlier when it came to budget demands. He warned that any minister in government who failed to meet austerity targets would follow in Pospíšil's footsteps.
Before any talks on the budget, my ministers always hear one sentence from me, that if they want to protest their allotted budget, they have only one means – to tender their resignation.
Mr. Pospíšil, of course, wasn't even allowed that, and already the controversy is growing. So far, the growing consensus is that he was sacked not over budget cuts at all, but over future leadership at the Prague High State Attorney's Office, where Mr. Pospíšil was key in pushing against suspected corruption. The highly respected prosecutor Lenka Bradáčová, for example, has been recommended by Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman to replace the former controversial head, and she is a candidate Pospíšil would most likely have confirmed had he stayed on. Now there is no certainty his eventual successor will do the same. Hanna Marvanová is a lawyer and former politician who has been following developments. She spoke to Czech Radio's Radio Journal on Wednesday.
Anyone who saw the Prime Minister's briefing could see that his argument wasn't very convincing. He was nervous. He couldn't look anyone in the eye. I think the official reason for Mr. Pospíšil's decision was contrived to prevent his naming of a new head of the Prague High Prosecutor's Office. There were no signs of the move ahead of time, and even the minister himself was told only minutes prior.
So far, Jiří Pospíšil, who was routinely rated one of the most competent members of the government in opinion polls, has had the least to say about his firing. He made clear in a brief interview for Czech Radio that he respected the decision, stressing that it was within the Prime Minister's full authority. He did admit he received no real warning. His successor's name should be made public in 1 week's time.
Christian Falvey reporting there on developments, unexpected developments in the government with the firing of Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil. If you have been following the situation and would like to tell us your opinion, please do so by writing to us here at the station. The address is english@radio.cz. And don't forget, some of your comments may even make it onto the air in our mailbox program. Now, though, we move to this story. The death of Lonesome George, the last remaining Pinta Island giant tortoise, recently saddened legions of nature and reptile lovers around the world. His unexpected demise in a reservation on the Galapagos Islands came at the estimated age of 100 years or more. For quite some time, tortoise experts believed that George might not be as lonesome as previously assumed. A Prague Zoo tortoise bore such close resemblance to George that even reptile experts thought he might too be a member of the Pinta species. We have this report now by Sarah Borufka.
When Lonesome George died, the Pinta tortoise species, a subgroup of the Galapagos giant tortoise, went extinct with him. Named after his lonely destiny as the last of his kind, George had become a symbol of the conservation efforts on the Galapagos Islands and a living reminder of species extinction caused by humans. However, even Peter Pritchard, who is considered the expert on Galapagos tortoises, was fooled by Prague Zoo's Antonio. The tortoise was so similar to Lonesome George that it took a DNA analysis at Yale University to determine that he was not, in fact, a member of the Pinta species. Petr Velenský is the head of the zoo's reptile exhibit.
Oni jsou si nesmírně podobné a tu podobu objevil
They look incredibly similar, and Peter Pritchard was completely wowed by the resemblance when he came to our zoo in 2000. He said that if they were both pinta tortoises, Antonio could prove very useful in animating George to reproduce with tortoises of closely related species. But the Yale DNA analysis showed that Antonio is a pinzo tortoise and that they had similar shells and bodies because they lived in similar conditions.
As a pinzo tortoise, Antonio is also a member of a very rare species. Only some 400 such tortoises remain in the Galapagos. In addition, he is the only saddle-backed tortoise living in Europe at the moment, and as such, a real star at Prague Zoo, says Petr Velenský.
We try to point out that to our visitors he is a symbol of extinction caused by humans, as his species is the second most threatened among the Galapagos tortoises. He is a real personality. He likes to show off and be dominant in front of visitors. He raises his neck up high until he looks like a giraffe tortoise, and he is very self-confident. We hope that one day he'll be able to return to the Galapagos and become part of the conservation breeding efforts there.
Until that day, those who are interested in rare species can visit Antonio in Prague Zoo's Reptile Pavilion.
And a very apt recommendation there from Sarah Borufka. Myself, I've never seen Antonio. I will certainly take the trip there with my son now, because I'm sure he'll love to see such a tortoise. Well, we're going to move on now to our main feature for this day, which is Marketplace. The small Moravian town of Litovel is home to the world's largest hard cheese factory. Since 1996, when the Italian company Orero set up its production there, its Gran Moravia cheese has been conquering markets around the world. Today, the Litovel cheese plant produces around 6,000 tons of the Parmesan-type cheese, a great majority of which is sold in Italy. In this edition of Marketplace, Jan Richter talks to the owner of the Orero company, Roberto Brazale, who says Parmesan is not the right name for its flagship product.
The word Parmesan is not right. In Czech Republic, it is commonly used to state long seasoning hard cheese. But in Italy, we don't use it. In Italy, we use the word formaggio grana to indicate the special structure of cheese grana. Gran Moravia belongs to the family of hard cheese manufactured according to the old Italian tradition. The others are Parmigiano Reggiano and Grana Padano.
Why would you say your cheese is so successful? One of the advantages, I suppose, is price compared to the products that have the designated origin according to the EU rules. So what other advantages or what other qualities does Gran Moravia have that make it so successful?
The product's success derives primarily from its quality and mild taste. Gran Moravia did not taste salty or seems like a dry pasta. Besides, Gran Moravia comes from the eco-sustainable chain that we have created in Moravia, a network of 75 farms with ecological features of great value. Gran Moravia is the first cheese in the world to calculate and to declare its water footprint.
Is it difficult to get good quality milk from farmers, or is there more good quality milk on offer than you can get?
Czech agriculture and milk production is high quality. And we chose this region to develop our project because we believe that it's possible with this structure, with this agriculture, to have the best quality to produce hard cheese. We need a very good milk, and the structure of farms in Czech Republic, they are big, they are very good managed, with good skills, and the people are all specialized. And then, compared with other countries, like Germany, Poland, and Slovakia, and other important milk producers in Europe, Czech Republic is a very big player and with big potential.
So was this the reason why you originally came to Litovel in Moravia, when you were thinking of expanding your business from Italy, or were there other countries or other sites in question as well?
We chose this country after looking in other countries in Central Europe, like Poland and Hungary. But here, because we believe that it is possible to have a milk produced with feeding 95% coming from the ground, from the farm. They don't need to buy outside the feeding. This is very important to control all the quality of all the process from the production of the forage to the fork, we can say. And this condition is particularly good in the Czech Republic. We have a relation today with 75 farms, and we can develop a program impossible in other countries in which there are a lot of producers, little producers, difficult to manage, difficult to control. We have the control on all the chain today, and we have a very good relation with very good professional people.
Why did your company decide to move outside Italy in the first place? What's the situation like in Italy? Why is it good for you to have an operation in the Czech Republic?
Our generation is the seventh generation in our company, and I mean it's the best moment in our history to develop our job, because the world is free. After 90 years, the Europe had a pacification, and then for us it was we were able to develop our project out of from Italy. And we are very happy to have created this project, a new page of collaboration between Italian and Czech nation. Mm. 200 years ago, our region in Italy, Veneto, was under the same emperor, Asburgico, Austrian emperor, and we had the same passport. It's not so difficult for us to think to develop our project with you. With Czech Republic. I have to say that Italy is a country on the world where the best cheese born, where there is an extraordinary dairy technology and know-how. There is a unique range of cheeses in Italy. On the other side, Italy has a limited territory, so it is not possible to develop innovative projects with need availability of big lands. Our company made this in Moravia.
Well, as I understand it, Gran Moravia is made in Litovel, but then it's moved to Italy where it ripens or where it matures. And it's also, of course, sold in Italy or exported from Italy. Why don't you do the whole process in the Czech Republic?
We are free to decide where is better to do something. And this is the very big new for our generation. Today is better to produce and to transform, to process the milk in Moravia. But it is also the best location to ripening it, to storage the cheese, and to cut and to process, to package it, and to control the sales and the export is Italy. Any case, because Italy has a big tradition, an old tradition, in everything. Very difficult activity.
You have opened a food store chain, La Fromageria, if I pronounce it correctly, in the Czech Republic, and you have also announced plans to expand and bring it to Prague. Do you think Czechs will spend more on luxury food items that can be had in your shops?
But our products are luxury only in quality, not in price. We sell directly from producer to consumer, so our prices are very competitive. Much better than in the supermarket, for example. And our products can be used every day. We don't agree with the strategy of other Italians who wants to sell their cheeses at the higher possible prices. In our shops, all ingredients of Italian cooking, heels and light, can be found every day at competitive prices. We are very satisfied about the new project concerning the creation of the network of shop La Formaggeria. Will be 10 within the end of this year, and we think they will be 2025 into 2015. In Prague, we will open within the end of the 2012 three or five shops. One of them in Václavské náměstí, of about 200 square meters. and other in Vinohradská, and we have already opened in Olomouc, Brno, Ostrava, Hradec Králové, České Budějovice, Litov, Liberec. In Brno, for example, in 50 square meters, we have every day more than 500 customers. It is incredible, grateful. We are very happy because it is not only to buy something to eat, but to buy something to enjoy, to be happy, to know better the Italian culture. And for that, we are very happy to develop it in the future.
Well, speaking as a foreign investor in the Czech Republic, how would you generally find doing business in the country compared to Italy, for example?
So, I prefer don't compare with Italy. I only want to say that we love Czech Republic. We estimate we love your history, your skills, your people is fantastic, and your policy and your economy is enough stable, and we like your way to manage the economy and to manage the policy. For us, Czech Republic is really a second house.
Do you also like the Czech tax authorities and all kinds of authorities that you've been dealing with?
I mean, in Czech Republic, everything is clear, everything is correct. And we need clear situation, a correct situation, good relationship with the authority. That we need. We entrepreneurs, we need clarity, and we need to know what is the habitat in which we have to work and to develop our program to make investments. For us, Czech Republic is number one.
Well, the Czech Republic is not particularly known for its cheeses, but there is one cheese that has some reputation, which comes not very far from where you are based in Moravia, which is, of course, the famous Olomoucké tvarůžky. Have you had any, and what do you think of them?
Yes, I know very well tvarůžky, and I like it. It is a very interesting, typical cheese. Like in Italy, there are a lot of little production of very typical cheese, and we have to save them because they are an important heritage of our past, of our culture, our little traditions. But you understand, we cannot found our economy on this production. The economy needs big numbers, big quantity, and Grana cheese can give us really a big quantity in export. And for example, in Italy, 40%, more than 40% of milk is processed for Grana cheese. And I mean that also Czech Republic is already becoming a good, very good player on the market, also for cheeses.
That was Roberto Brazala, believe it or not, the owner of the world's largest hard cheese factory located in the Moravian town of Litovel. And he was talking to Jan Richter in that edition of Marketplace. Don't forget, you'll find many more stories and the very latest news at our website, radio.cz. That's the address to visit. We turn now, though, today to our long-running language program, the ABC of Czech, and that, as always, is hosted by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to the ABC of Czech and our current series focusing on Czech food and cuisine. Today I'm joined by
Zuzana Durčáková
and we'll be looking at typical Czech party food. Although parties in this country more and more resemble parties anywhere in the Western world, including the food, in today's ABC of Czech we'll look at the traditional food served at Czech office parties, New Year's Eve celebrations, exhibition openings, conferences and similar types of events. The one thing that can't be missing on a Czech party table is
chlebíčky,
literally little breads. They are open-faced sandwiches, but you don't use Czech dark bread, but a special kind of very dull white bread called
veka,
which comes in long sticks and for some reason always seems to be a day old. Also, veka is hardly ever used for any other purpose than to make chlebičky. Another compulsory ingredient is mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
It's either used to make potato salad,
bramborový salát,
or any other such salad that's often used to garnish the sandwich or there's a blob of mayonnaise sitting on it. If ham or
šunka
is the prevailing garnish on the sandwich, then we are talking about
šunkové chlebičky.
If it's crab with lots of mayo, then it is
humrové chlebičky,
from the word
humr
or lobster. If there is more of the Czech brie,
hermelín,
then they are
hermelínové chlebičky.
There are, of course, salami varieties, sardine varieties, or egg and caviar varieties, and different kinds of spreads.
Pomazánka,
from the word
mazat,
to spread. For example,
rybí pomazánka,
fish spread, and
humrová pomazánka,
crab spread. The Czech open-faced sandwiches, or
chlebičky,
are such an institution in the Czech Republic that there are even specialized shops selling only those. Another must on a party table are so-called
jednohubky,
cocktail snacks. The word suggests that they are only one bite each.
Jedna,
meaning one, and
hubky,
from the word
huba,
a slang term for mouth. To make them, you need fresh Czech white bread rolls,
rohlíky.
You slice them into round pieces the size of a bigger coin and then spread butter over them, garnish them with a slice of salami, a bit of smoked salmon, and top with an olive, for example. Finally, the whole thing is pierced with a toothpick, which serves as a handle or fork. Now you know what you can expect at a typical Czech party. That's all for today. Until next...
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
The ABC of Czech with Pavla Horáková. And once again, let me just quickly remind you, you'll find many more of those lessons in the ABC of Czech at our website, radio.cz, if you want to practice. And that is just about all we have time for this day. Just a quick recap of today's show. We had Marketplace with the owner of a hard cheese factory in Litovel in Moravia. We also discussed the unexpected firing of the justice minister, and of course there was the story of Antonio at Prague Zoo, once thought to be a kind of twin to the late Lonesome George, who died recently in the Galapagos. I'm Jan Vellinger for all of us here at Radio Prague. Thanks so much for joining us, and take care.